So now, what music should I play for this one? How about this? I'm sorry, that's music to my ears. Sean Kiernan, the owner of the original Bullet Mustang. How you doing, Sean?
Doing great. Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. Is that a ringtone for you now? Do you have that as a ringtone on your phone?
Oh, definitely. If I ever want to get inspired, that's always what I listen to before I get out of the truck and get in the trailer and take the car out. That's always what I listen to.
So the original Bullet is going to be here on Woodward this weekend. You can see it here at the Ford display as well. And it's always interesting to me, Sean, this story. A lot of people know bits and pieces and reading about it and stuff, but to kind of just back up a little bit, your dad bought this car in a want ad, right, basically?
Yeah, it's a classified ad in the back of Road and Track magazine. Yeah, and just happened to be an awesome Friday afternoon. Dad pulled it out of the mailbox, and honestly, before my mom even got out of school, the car was sitting in the driveway.
So, but back then, though, I mean, what year is this, 72, 73? What was the timing of that?
74, okay. 74, October 74, yeah. And, yeah, it was listed as, you know, a 68 fastback Bullet car, you know, can document. But it really, you know, in 74, movie cars weren't really a thing. Dad was more of a Shelby fan, more of a fastback Ford Mustang guy. So this being just a big block Ford Mustang, that's, I think, what enticed him to get it. But what enticed him to keep it was the fact that it is Bullet.
So you've got so your dad's driving the car now. Mom and them is driving it too. So you guys had it was pretty much the daily driver for how long? 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, so from 74 to 80, my mom, dad, sister, rode in the car and basically put 46,000 miles on it and absolutely drove it every day.
And killed the clutch probably, right?
Yeah, the clutch had already been hammered on, as you can tell, like through the movie and through the first owner and second owner. The clutch had been already hammered on pretty good, and I think they just kind of finished it off. And that's what eventually, you know, that's why she got parked. It, not only was I born and a 68 fastback wasn't practical anymore, it was more or less just, you know, she needed a little bit of work on her.
So at what point did Steve McQueen find out that your dad had this car?
So that was in December of 77. Of course, throughout the end of 77 is when he reached out to the second owner, got all of my father's information. And then started calling my dad, and then and that's when you see the letter. That was the kind of the final, hey, I'm going to ask one last time. And, you know, it was never about, hey, here's a ton of money. It was always, you know, hey, I'll replace it with a car that's kind of like it. And that's why that was, I think, an easy no for my dad. It's like, thanks, but no thanks. Because at that point, he'd already had the car for 3 years, and that was, you know, this was his baby.
I'm surprised with, you know, you think the emotional connection they had to that movie for a guy like McQueen, that money wasn't an issue. So for him to do that, I wouldn't say an insult, but it's kind of surprising that he didn't offer more money for that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I always thought the same thing. And then digging into it through actually a friend of mine, Ken, he had just gone through a divorce. So he was about 1 month out of divorcing his wife, which I think was Chad's mom. And so, you know, I kind of get it, you know, coming out of a divorce, he was wanting, you know, something that he had 10 years prior, didn't have a ton of money to pay up for it. So
makes,
I get it.
Okay, it does. It makes sense there. Sean Kiernan with us, the owner of the original Bullet Mustang here with Ford on Woodward in the Motor City this weekend. So we fast forward. You guys have moved to Nashville. The family's in Nashville. The car's in a barn. Life happens. And like so many people listening to this right now, Sean, if there's one city that could totally relate to that, it's Detroit. If you think about how many cars are sitting in garages that are half done, I mean,
exactly.
With the best of intentions. When we built a car for charity a couple of years ago, we went out looking at bodies. We didn't have enough hours in the day to go look at all the bodies of these amazing cars that were just sitting there.
Oh, exactly. Every one of us car guys has that car on the back burner that we're getting to or going to get to. And when we have time, we work on it. And, you know, when we don't, we go. And that's, you know, life's going on. And, ours just happened to be Bullet. And, you know, that's easy to talk to car guys, and they get it pretty fast. It's awesome, especially here in Detroit, because, yeah, like you said, every garage has got a gem in it.
Yeah, everybody's got a car that they either want to do or they want to have. For me, it's always been an International Scout Harvester. I've always wanted a Harvester. International Scout. I've wanted a Scout, yep. And I want to put a Ford 289 in it. That's my dream car.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome. With a PTO on the back?
Exactly. Just, you
know. Would be amazing.
Exactly. Just a car that it's got some character to it. So now, at what point, you've got custody of the car. Your dad passed away when?
2014, so okay. Just over 4 years.
Okay, so when did you guys come to realize, I mean, obviously you knew that it was more than a car, but when it really became like, holy crap, we've got a car that's potentially worth millions of dollars that everybody wants?
I would say it's probably the late 90s and right around 01. When Ford came out with their first commemorative car in 2001, that kind of shed a lot of light. And then that's when the internet started asking the question, where's the original car? That's when things kind of got weird. It was just the internet was providing quite a bit of where is it, how is it, where's it been? And for, you know, honestly, from 01 to 08 was constantly that going on just in the internet world.
Oh, we've done so many. I remember now that they found the second car in Mexico, supposedly. But even before that, we all talked about it. I mean, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody talked
and
about it.
I was the troll. I was the guy on every site that, you know, was kind of just trolling every website and not saying anything, watching each one and looking at all the comments going, where is it at? And what's funny is people had a pretty good timeline of saying, you know, it was in Jersey, went to Kentucky, and it's in Middle Tennessee. And they had a roundabout idea. But, you know, thankfully for the handful of people that actually knew where it was or knew our name, kept quiet. And those are the people I appreciate the most.
So your buddy, when you were talking with him in the car, your co-manager, right, that you were in the car when he was describing his idea for a bullet-type movie with two kids who find the bullet in a barn. I know I've read stuff and heard things. Sean, was it a point where you're like, all right, this is too weird, I got to tell him? Were you still anxious about telling him?
No, it was that moment that, you know, everybody has like that one defining moment. And I was in the truck that Dad had owned and then I had bought from him. But this is what we took our road trips in. It was a Avalanche. And we always took a road trip in that. I had just been married the week before and went through an emotional roller coaster with that because my father wasn't there and was definitely taking care of the farm and my mom, and the car is what I was reaching for and just wanted an answer. And I'm telling you, if ever there was a moment that my dad could have spoke to me, it was in there, but it was more or less him in the back seat smacking me in the back of the head going, this is the time. So,
I'm a big believer. The only way to make God laugh is tell him your plans, Sean. That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have never mapped this out in a million years the way this is going.
Not even close. Yeah. And I can just, you know, and now it's so funny because I can kind of see him and you know, just God up there with Dad and McQueen sitting back laughing, watching all this.
So you decide you're going to let Ford know that you've got the car. Did you make the call and who did you call?
So Kevin Marty, who I got involved very quick, because my number one thing was, you know, I didn't want to unveil the car to the world and then somebody say that's not real or that's fake. Because with this being the most personal thing on the planet to me, the last thing I want somebody to do is say that's not real. So I kind of worked backwards. So the first person I called was Kevin Marty, and he's the absolute Mustang authenticator on the planet. And then through him, that's how I actually got with McKeel Haggerty and then Mark Gessler and then Mike Berardi. And Mike Berardi in the Ford world at the time was the director of service, the executive director of service, and also a Mustang connoisseur to the fact where he has so many Mustangs. I think on the day that there was 10 million Mustangs, four of those was his. and he's the one that set up the meeting with the Mustang team. And that was the process it went through. So probably started in April of 16, and then the meeting was in November.
Now, once they realized what you had, and I've seen the way, and I'm not just saying this because we're working with Ford this weekend, they treat you with so much respect. I saw it at the auto show and kid gloves that it's really cool to see how it plays out that way, Sean.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, I do throw everybody a curve because I trailer the car. I take care of it. I drive it. I touch it. I clean it. Nobody else touches it, and that's usually different. Usually everybody else is, you know, we'll take care of your car and we'll fly you anywhere, but I'm different because I trailer it everywhere. I clean it. I touch it. So, yeah, it's amazing because you know you work with car guys when they know what you're feeling. And that's when it comes down to it. It's easy for me to be one of the family of Ford, not only because my wife and her whole family work for Ford, or my wife's family work for Ford, but it was so easy to become part of the Ford family.
So, after you have no regrets, obviously. I can't hear any even the twinge of regret in this. Do you regret maybe not telling people sooner?
Oh no, there was an absolute perfect timing moment, and I think we hit it on the nose. The car was 50 years and 4 days old when I unveiled on January 14th, and it was the 50th anniversary and the new Bullet going with it. And yeah, there were just so many things that just ended up being exactly perfect that. No, it wasn't in my hands for most of the time. So, yeah, I didn't question anything. I just kept it in between the ditches.
So how often, before you actually told the world about this, how often did you watch the movie Bullet? You had to have owned it, right? I mean, you had it on VHS or DVD. How often did you sit down and watch the movie going, I got that car, that's mine?
The movie itself?
Yeah.
Not a ton. The 10 minutes and 53 seconds in the center, quite a bit.
you're probably used for like 2 million of the YouTube hits are from you.
I love the movie, but it's a definite, hey, I'm going to watch it tonight versus the chase scene. If you're sitting there, sometimes you just want to grab it and watch it. It's an easy, quick 10 minutes.
So for
and,
Yeah, well, we got up there. So if Ford came to you right now, Bill Ford Jr. came up to you and said, Sean, we want the Bullet Mustang. We will give you every car and truck that Ford makes, a new one every year for the rest of your life.
Oh, no, there's no way. I think, and that's what I love about it, is I think that Ford knows where the car belongs, and that's in my garage.
Is there ever going to be a time where we're going to see this on display, like at the Smithsonian or the Henry Ford Museum?
Yeah, the goal for me, I would say, I mean, it won't be a long term, but it'll definitely be a short term deal at Henry Ford.
Really? Okay, well, that's cool, man, because, yeah, it should be there. I mean, just for a little bit to put it out with the other Mustangs.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's something I've always wanted to do. It's near and dear to my heart. My father-in-law could basically curate the place. He's worked for Ford for 40 years, and took me there every time I came to Detroit. So it's very easy to go in there and just feel comfortable. So that's where I think the car would be most comfortable. And me too. That's what's going to make me sleep at night. As long as she's good, I'm good.
Anything else in your garage you need to know about? Do you have like Eleanor, maybe any other movie cars we're aware of?
That's so funny. No, I don't. I actually have a couple of the cars nobody else cares about. So
you care about them. That's
except
what's important,
me,
man.
Except All me, right. That so, I will hang on to forever, just like this one.
So you're here on Woodward, and the car will be on display. Did I hear somebody say it's going to be under glass or something like that?
Yeah, it's actually an amazing display. They're setting it up right now.
Yep.
And, she's out there with three other amazing Mustangs. But it's an awesome display. But, yeah, she can't get wet. And that's what it's doing right now is raining. So,
we'll be on Woodward tomorrow morning. If you're up and about in the morning, come on by. We'll be at the Ford, like the media center there. So we'll be broadcasting live, man. I'd love to shake your hand. I'll look for you. I'll buy you breakfast.
Oh, amazing. I look forward to that.
I top shelf the hell out of it, Sean. We go big on these things, man. Well, let's stay in touch when you come back, you know, when you come back to bring to the Henry Ford, I'd love to stay in touch and talk about this.
Definitely.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing this car back. I mean, for letting us know about this, for seeing this car. For so many of us, and you saw the joy at the auto show here in Detroit, you made us just, I was in awe, just the fact that I got to see the Bullet Mustang in person. You got to understand that I'm not alone. There's a lot of people listening to this right now going, we feel the same way. You gave us something that we never thought we would see again, A, and then B, to know that somebody like you and your family and your father, God bless him, took care of this car and can give it to us, that's amazing.
Oh, I appreciate that to the fullest. And what's funny is I feel just as much thanks to everybody being just not only grateful and just this thing has just been so gratifying, and I appreciate every minute of it.
You're awesome.
So thank you for that.
Sean, we'll stay in touch, man, and we'll
yes,
pick
sir.
The glass up and go take a drive in it. All the best.
Yes, sir. You as well.